This is Daryl Wood, host of Run to Win, The Daryl Wood Show on Faith Talk 1500. First, let me say this show is your show. That's why no matter what I discuss or which guests I interview, your input is valued. If it's in the news, on TV, or at the movies, whether political, social, economic, or whatever, at some point I'm talking about it on Run to Win, The Daryl Wood Show, Monday through Thursday from 4 to 6 p.m. on Faith Talk 1500.
The Jewish Hour can now be heard on jcastnetwork.org, your portal to Jewish broadcasting. It's also on iTunes and on your smartphone using the Stitcher app.
Welcome to the Jewish Hour. I'm your host, Herschel Finman. We've got a wonderful show for you today. In this half hour, we're going to be talking about the Iran deal. Isn't everybody talking about the Iran deal? We're going to be talking about the Iran deal with Deputy Counsel General for the State of Israel in Chicago, Mr. Alex Goldman Shaman. We're going to get the scoop. Is this, like they say, about the 1956 joke when the Dodgers won the pennant and the kid came and said, "Grandpa, the Dodgers won the pennant." And the grandfather, who was from Europe, said, "I don't have a clue what you just said, but if it's good for the Jews, I'm happy." So we're going to find out if it's good for the Jews. We're going to do that assessment. We're still doing a cappella music. Tisha B'Av is next week. And so this week it happens, this year it happens that we have 4 weeks of wonderful a cappella music to listen to for your listening pleasure. The portion of the week is the portion of Devarim. We're starting the book of Deuteronomy 1:1. And following, we'll talk a little bit about the holiday of Tisha B'Av, a dynamic Hasidic story at the very end. Stay tuned to that all the way through. Before we do anything else, let's go right to the news. In response to the Iran deal, Israel's defense minister Moshe Yaalon said that Israel is not letting up on its military option to deal with the Iran nuclear threat. Quote, "Nobody can guarantee Iran won't violate the agreement," unquote. U.S. Defense Secretary Ashton Carter will visit Israel next week. It is expected that the U.S. will offer Israel a very generous offer to serve as compensation for signing the nuclear agreement with Iran. In other news, the other things do happen. Israel's Air Force destroyed a Hamas building in Gaza as retaliation for a rocket that was fired towards Ashkelon from Gaza. No one was hurt in either exchange, or in the exchange. Sergei Ustinov, a prominent Jewish Russian businessman and founder of the Museum of the History of Jews in Russia, was shot in the head in front of the museum in Moscow. The gunman got away, and police are treating this as a hate crime. Here's an interesting story. I'm going to try working on this one. Maybe we can even actually get this proponent over here of this story. Britain's Lord George Weidenfeld is rescuing 2,000 Christians from Syria and Iraq because Christians helped him escape Nazi Germany. Weidenfeld, age 94, was on the Kinder transport to England in 1938. And some good news, 221 people made Aliyah to Israel this week through Nefesh B'Nefesh, including 90-year-old Susan Friedman. 90 years old, picked herself up and moved to Israel, never coming back. Friedman is the grandmother of member of Knesset and former deputy mayor of Jerusalem, Rachel Azaria. And a final piece of news, the school board of the upstate New York town of Pinebush has been ordered by a federal judge to pay five Jewish families a total of $4.5 million for acts of anti-Semitism that were not guarded upon by the schools. The school board will also have to offer sensitivity classes to all students in the district, this following some very blatant anti-Semitic acts in Pine Bush. And that's the news.
Some of the best jobs in the world are in the radio and television industry, and you too can join the workforce in as little as 8 months when you complete your hands-on training at the Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts located in Southfield, Michigan. At Specs Howard School, students get to play and learn at the same time. Imagine spending your class time behind the microphone, spinning music and hosting your own radio show, or designing and lighting a set for your own TV program, running a camera, learning to edit, directing a program. When you go to Specs, your day will be anything but dull. And if school is this fun, imagine how exciting it is to work in the growing industry. In addition, the credits you earn while attending Specs Howard School are currently accepted at 14 area colleges and universities. If you've always wanted the best job in the world, call for a tour of Specs Howard School at 248-358-9000. That's 248-358-9000, or visit them on the web at specshoward.edu. Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts. This is where you start.
Hey, Shul Fenman, you're listening to the Jewish Hour. We have online the Deputy Consul General for the State of Israel serving the Midwest and Chicago offices, Mr. Alex Goldman Shaman. We're talking about the Iran deal and other such things, and we're punching him up right now. I should give a countdown, 10, 9, 8, 7. And is he up there, Ben? And he's up. How are you today, Mr. Shaman? How are you?
Good morning, Rabbi Feinman. Good morning to you, to our listeners.
Thank you so much for coming back on our show. So
I'm glad to be back.
The Iran deal, everybody's talking about it. That's the big buzz. The question is it good for the Jews?
As we see, we have problems with this deal, at least five of problems. And as we understand, as an Israeli, for us, this deal is problematic. First, it leaves Iran with a vast nuclear infrastructure. There was talking about dismantle for dismantle, and we see after this deal, we dismantle the sanctions, but Iran still will have the capabilities to have a nuclear weapon, and the inspections are really, really problematic, because instead of inspections that you can inspect anytime, everywhere, today in this deal, at the best you can inspect some of the places and sometime in 24 days. So it's really, really, really problematic for us. The second thing, it's the restrictions being placed on Iran's nuclear program are only temporary, and they will expire in 10 years. And then, as the President Obama himself said, that the breakout time would be almost down to zero. And all of us remember that Iran didn't change. It's still the same nation that support terror organization, support the instability in the Middle East, and for Jews and for Israelis, as you know, probably, and your audience know, Iran still vows and works to destroy the state of Israel, the one and only Jewish state. The third problem that we find, that the deal will open a nuclear arms race in the Middle East. All of us know that our region is not stable. We have lots of terror organizations, and I don't want to think about how it will affect on this organization if they will have the opportunity to have nuclear weapons. The fourth problem that we found, that the budget that Iran will have from these unfrozen sanctions, it will support strengthen their global terror network. They want to use these budgets, you know, to bring more peace and calm to this region, but to support organizations as Hezbollah and Hamas that aiming and bombing Israeli citizens. And the main another problem that I want to emphasize, it's the message to the international community. I think from this deal, the international community sent the wrong message that shows that the aggressor can promote his interest without changing his behavior. Iran is still foremost sponsor of terror in the world. It is on the march of conquest in the Middle East, and again, it's still support for destroying the state of Israel. So why should the international community reward such a country?
Indeed. There are people who are likening this this deal to the deal that Neville Chamberlain made with Adolf Hitler and Max Jermo before World War II, which turned out to be that Chamberlain turned out to be the Nazis' little sucker boy. Do we think that Obama is being Chamberlain?
Well, to be honest, I don't know if Obama is Chamberlain. I think, you know, our advantage from the history that we know the end. It's something like a movie. We know what was the end. So today what we are doing, what Israel does, and also lots of other people, not just Israelis, we emphasize the problems that this deal has. And we hope that, that the people that see those problems will work to change the and to improve these problems. Also, I think that one of the most biggest difference between those dark era when Chamberlain was and for today, it's the existence of the State of Israel, of course. Israel will do everything to defend its citizens. So I think there's several changes from the history and today.
Okay, understood. Now, Alex, President Obama knows about the criticism. He's already commented in a press conference. The problem with the 24-day advance notice, which to me sounds somewhat arbitrary. I mean, but he says to dismantle anything in 24 days would be impossible, and it's good enough that we give them 24-day notice. How do you feel about that?
We think that this 24 days, it's one of the problems, as I told you previously. I think with Israel, I think that even without these 24 days, you know, Israel and the United States has very good intelligence, and it takes time. It takes time to understand. We all remember how long it takes to our people to find that Iran developing a nuclear military abilities. And I think it's one of the weaknesses of this deal, the inspection about 24 days. Even with those 24 days, it gives to Iranian opportunity, you know, not to give the inspectors any opportunity to come and to inspect even after 24 days and to break the deal. So I think it's one of the weaknesses. But again, if you know that for the Iranian, it's a good advantage to go with this deal and to promote their abilities inside the deal. They don't have to, you know, to go outside. They can wait 10 years and then to go with the military aspects. They can investigate and promote nuclear, as they call it, nuclear civic research, and after 10 years to go on military. And as we remember, this deal also didn't restrict any abilities, as we call conventional, about the ballistic missiles or other weapons. So, as I told before, it gives a lot of opportunity to the Iranians also in research, also promote weapons, but also budgetly. They will have, from this deal, they will have $150 billion. It's half of their annual budget. It's a huge, huge amount of money that will help them to promote their strategies and their interests. And as we know, they're not a peaceful one.
Mm-hmm. Now, everybody knows that going to war with Iran would not be a very good solution. And diplomacy seems to be the only way out. I mean, I don't usually settle for bifurcation, and it's either this one or that one. There must be something else. But nobody likes the deal. The AIPAC is leading the charge on the Capitol Hill against it, that the Senate should vote it down. What would you like to see? What would Israel like to see as a better agreement, closing up all the holes and making something that's more than just a piece of paper that's not even suitable for framing?
Yes, as you know, Israel is a little bit disappointed because all the efforts that was made in those 10 years to build a sanctions regime, to build, you know, a cooperation between so different countries, United States, Russia, China, that will bring Iran to change its behavior. So it's a little bit disappointed to see that all the work that was done, it seems like it's going to be wasted without serious achievements, and it gives a reward, as I say, to the Iranian by nothing. So I think that we expect, we will continue, of course, to monitor and see how Iran's behaviors, but we expect in the future, as we saw also in the past. And today we see Iranians still supporting terror organizations and still threatening Israel and also threatening a little bit America, as we saw in the previous days. So our expectation is the international community will be also ready to change its policy when it will see proofs for the bad and not instructive behavior of the Iranians.
Okay, Alex, I must congratulate you. That was the best non-answer I have ever received on this show. I asked you, what would be a better deal? What is Israel looking for? So you want to keep sanctions. I got that now. But keeping sanctions is the negative. What are the positive things that you want to do that you see that Iran is doing so that Israel's security is maintained?
Of course, the positive is to see the Iranian behavior changes, that they don't support terror, that they...
Okay, so let me interrupt you again. Alex, you're going along the same way again. I'm trying to pin you down. Israel wants to sign a diplomatic agreement with Iran, or they want an agreement signed. What should that agreement say that would say to Israel, Baruch Hashem, the deal is done?
First, Iran should recognize the state of Israel. Let's start with the beginning, with the basics.
Okay.
After Iran can recognize Israel and we're ready to sign an agreement, of course. You know, it looks like a really far future, but if it happens, I don't see...
You're still not answering the question. What you're saying, this is like, if they say, we recognize you, now I'm quoting the Lubavitcher Rebbe, if they say, we recognize your right to exist and we promise to be a good boy, that's the way the Rebbe said it, a good boy, even though they have no precedent of being a good boy, that's enough for Israel?
Again, let's start with declaration, but we also will check their activity and their behavior.
Now you're talking.
Recognize Israel, and they behave like this, and stop to promote and to support terror organization directly or indirectly, as we see that they're supporting Hamas and sending ships with weapons. So if all these things will be
So what you're saying...
Of course, Israel doesn't have any problem. We have peace agreements with our biggest enemies in the past, as it was Jordan and Egypt, countries that we fight against them. And as maybe your listeners also remember, with Iran, during the 70s, we have good relations. We had an embassy there, diplomatic relations, economical relations, so it maybe now seems a really far future, but if Iran will change its behavior, not just declaratively, but also, in practice, of course, Israel will be ready to promote.
Okay, good. Okay, I'm not gonna further go this. You answered good. Thank you very much, finally. Okay, so now, the way things are going to go, you're not going to get what you want, what Israel... Israel's not going to get you just said. They're going to get this piece of paper, 100 pieces of paper, actually, is what the whole thing is, 100 pages long. What is Israel prepared to do now in response to this deal being signed by the United States, its allies, in Iran?
Rabbi Finman, why do you think that the things won't be, as you said, it will be just papers? I don't know. The deal was signed right now. As I told you, we see the problems, but you never know how it will be.
You asked me a question, Alex. I can tell you, because the person who was the lead negotiator at this for these talks in Iran and Switzerland, the week before he signed this piece of paper, was the lead marcher in an anti-American, anti-Israel parade. So I don't see that the Irans are looking to change. I see the Iranians are saying, listen, we had enough of not being able to buy toothpaste and penicillin, so we'll sign whatever you want to sign, and we'll do whatever we want and try and stop us. That's the way I'm perceiving the deal. You could correct me if I'm wrong.
There are people that look at the deal like you do, and there are people that have hope from this deal. What I'm saying is that right now I don't know what's going to be in the future. If your vision is right, of course Israel will do as much as it can diplomatically, and if we need, we will defend ourselves not diplomatically if there will be need like this. If we will see and we will feel that there's a threat on our existence, of course we will be ready to act also not diplomatically. But there's optimistic people in the United States, in Israel, in all over the world, says maybe Iran will change her manners. I'm saying today, I don't know how it will be looks like in 5 or 10 years. I hope it will be for good, but we all prepare for the worst case, of course.
Mm-hmm. Back in 1991, during Desert, so if you're just tuning in, we're talking about the Iran deal with Israel's Deputy Consul General serving the Midwest, Mr. Alex Goldman Shaiman. Indeed an honor, and I love talking to you, Alex. It's just such a pleasure. Back in 1991, during Desert Storm, or Desert Shield, I don't remember which one, Desert Shield came first. So the United States attacked Kuwait, and Iraq sent Scuds to destroy Israel. And the Israelis were told by the Americans, stay out of this, we'll take care of you. And at that time, I was talking, I don't remember who the consul general was at that time, but he used an expression that Israel's feeling like an orphaned little sister. What's the mood among the diplomatic corps in Israel now with this agreement signed? Does Israel feel like the orphaned little sister? I reported on my news that the Secretary of Defense is coming to Israel next week. He's going to offer some tokens to make Israel feel good. What's the mood in the foreign ministry?
You mentioned 1991. To be honest, on 1991, I was in Israel. I was in the IDF in the Israeli army, and I remember those days. It wasn't easy days, but, you know, when we're looking today, also we had some achievements from those days. It's the Patriot systems and the strengthening of cooperation. I served at the Patriot battalion. I was a technical officer, so, you know, you say it in Hebrew, me'az yatza matok. Sometimes from a bad situation you can achieve good results and achievements. I don't know about all the diplomats in the world, Israel diplomats in the world. I'm not feel like orphaned sister, as you said. And I think that we really appreciate the support of the United States, the support of other countries, Canada, or other countries that supports Israel. And of course, it's really important, especially in those days, to continue the security dialogue, to continue to change facts and to change estimations about Iran and about what's going on in the region. I really believe that for the United States, for the people of the United States, for the administration, for the Congress, the security of the state of Israel is important. And we do all that we can to be in touch, to cooperate with the United States to keep it.
Okay. Does the foreign ministry recognize AIPAC as a viable and a representative lobby in Congress as representing Israel's best interests?
Listen, as you know, AIPAC is an independent organization. And lots of Israeli leaders are coming each year to speak with the leaders of AIPAC. We have good relations, but again, it's an independent organization. Some of the policy we are adopting, and some of them we think maybe we can do better. So
okay, so now let's see if you could say this without. There's an expression in English. It's a negative sentence, but I don't mean an expression. I don't mean it negatively. Talking out of both sides of your mouth, meaning it's a stira mine ube, if you know that expression. You're looking right now to support what America does. AIPAC is lobbying Congress to vote the whole deal down. Who are you rooting for?
Listen, what are we working? And it's one of our aims also in this in our conversation this morning is to emphasize the problems that this deal have. We are speaking to the American people. We are speaking to the American Congress. It's not just me, it's also our ambassador Ron Dermer. It's also the prime minister that we saw him speaking in the American press. We are speaking to every American, if it's in the American population, the American Congress, the American administration, to emphasize the problems that this deal has.
Okay. Now, I don't know if you can answer this question simply yes or no, but it's really just a simple yes or no question. Has Israel ever admitted to nuclear capabilities?
As you know about the Israeli nuclear capabilities, Israel never spoke about it. I don't know. I never see Israeli nuclear. Speak about military capability, not the civil. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Of course, we are developing. And as you know, the official answer, I think, Israel says that it never be the first one to expose nuclear capabilities in the Middle East. This is our answer, and you know.
Yes, it's known
not
as
like Iran. We are never saying about destroy even our enemies. We are never thought or expressed about in annihilation of any country from our region or from other regions. So it's really different. We our policy is a responsible one. So I don't see any imagination between us.
Okay. The Jane magazine, which is a military magazine, ranks the Israel armed forces as the fourth best in the world. Given
just four?
Fourth, yes.
Okay, so we have to be improved.
Okay. Well, you have America, China, and I don't know who the third one is, but...
okay, maybe Russia, I don't know.
Maybe Russia, but I'm not so sure. Although I will tell you a story, just... we have a little bit of time to tell you a story. I have a nephew who was serving in Golani, and they were doing maneuvers. His unit... I don't know the name of his specific unit in Golani, but it was 10 of his unit and 10 Army Rangers. The Army Rangers, he described to them, he said, Uncle Herschel, these guys were massive. They had muscles on their foreheads. That's the way he described these guys. So they went and they did these maneuvers, and they beat, it was basically playing laser tag, and he said they beat them 10 games out of 10.
Wow.
And he went, and as he's turning in their equipment, so he asked the guy in the who's running the operation, he says, was this unusual? He says, nah, it happens all the time. It says, we're just smarter than they are, basically the way it goes. So maybe Jane doesn't want to admit. But anyway, so being that Israel is so well equipped and so prepared, the idea of a stronger, or are you talking about maintaining balance in the Middle East, is this something that really worries Israel? Or you could say, well... We're prepared for it.
I think it's a very serious question. I think we are very worried about these circumstances. Also, we spoke about Iran, but also I mentioned that this deal will promote more more nuclear weapon race in our region. And I don't think it's something positive. It's one thing when we see weapons that coming, you know, from Libya, from other places, from Syria to terror organization as ISIS, and it's really a different story when we will see, and I hope we won't see any nuclear ability that arrive to those kind of organizations. It's really threatening us. It doesn't matter how much, you know, technology you developed and how smarter you are. If you will see inflation of nuclear abilities in our region, I don't want to think about how it will be ended.
Okay. I'm done with this part. I have just one more question I wanted to ask. I was preparing my news to this morning, and I asked my producer about a story, and I was told this is not a story for the news. It's something for discussion. So since I said, well, I'm having the Deputy Consul General, I said, yeah, bring it up with him very quickly. Tzipi Hatovli, you've heard of this person, I'm sure. She is I would think you would call her one of your bosses. She's the deputy foreign minister for the state of Israel.
Mm-hmm. Tzipi Hatovli, yeah.
Yeah. So she has decided that visiting diplomats are going to, part of their official itinerary is to visit the Kotel, the Western Wall. And the people on the left are up in arms and jumping up and down and making all kinds of noise. So if you could just give a little insight about this idea of foreign diplomats visiting Judaism's holiest place.
Listen, I think, you know, it's a very good initiative as long as you don't force it. As a diplomat, usually diplomats are really, you know...
Diplomatic, yes.
They're diplomatic and they're curious. So when they're coming to other countries, as we are coming, I don't know, to Chicago, I served in Moscow, of course, the first time that we are, the first days, we will would like to visit the central sites and the most important sites for this nation, for these people. It's part of our understanding of the place that we are serving, and it's part of our understanding of the culture of the people that we are working with. So I think it's a very good idea that diplomats that come to Israel will visit the Kotel, as same as they will visit other places to understand the population of Israel. But to force it, you know, it can be discussion if you force someone to visit one place or other. I think the diplomats will do it anyway, and if you will force them, maybe it will be, you know, will bring a different result. I think, again, the diplomats will visit the Kotel anyway because they're curious, because they want to understand the atmosphere and the place and the culture of the people that live in Israel. And maybe, you know, to force this kind of activity can bring the opposite result.
Uh-huh. Let me just be glib to close off. Have you gone to both a Cubs game and a White Sox game?
To be honest, I went to the Bulls. I'm not such a baseball
Oh, you went to
fan,
the Bulls.
But,
okay.
But this summer I will go to the Cubs and to the Sox. And I think the best is to go to see the derby, the game between themselves.
Uh-huh. Well, you knock off two birds at once, don't you? You only have to go to one baseball game. The question is, which?
Exactly.
The question at that point becomes, which cap do you wear? Do you wear a Cubs cap or a White Sox cap? But anyway.
The cap with the Israeli flag.
Of course. Okay. Our guest has been Mr. Alex Goldman Shaman. He is the Deputy Consul General for the State of Israel in the Midwest. Offices in Chicago. If you have a question for him, you can go right to their website and you can look it up in on Google. It's right there. It's very easy. They are very accessible. The Consul General is here to serve the people in the Midwest. So if you please contact them. Alex, thank you so much. And we reserve the right to call on you again sometime in the hope in the future. Mirza Hashem.
Of course. Thank you very much, Rabbi Finman. It was a pleasure for me.
Okay, take care. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to The Jewish Hour. Do you or someone you know have an addiction to opiates? Ready to take your life back but don't have the time for a long inpatient program? MDS Drug Detox is a team of physicians with extensive experience in the field of rapid drug detox under anesthesia. MDS is the nation's only rapid opiate detox under anesthesia facility with the same doctors, RNs, and certified paramedics attending the entire drug detox process. MDS Drug Detox is safe and effective. Their goal is to provide the best, the safest, and the most economical way to free you from your addiction. MDS uses the highest standards of care and the best FDA-approved medications. MDS Drug Detox understands what your concerns are. Make the call today, 888-637-6968, or go online to www.mdsdrugdetox.com. That's 888-637-6968, MDS Drug Detox. Hey, Herschel Finman here. You're listening to The Jewish Hour. I hope you feel informed, and I hope we did that in as educational and entertaining way as possible. Mr. Goldman Shaman is indeed quite eloquent and quite knowledgeable, and he does tote the party line, which is what his job is. We have now, speaking of party lines, let's have a party. This is the Y Studs. They're an a cappella group from Yeshiva University. This song is called Avat Yisrael, which means loving your neighbor as yourself. And then in parenthesis, we'll bring the Mashiach.
I'm Shana, I know that. I'm Shana, I'm Shana, I'm Shana, Yeah.
Israel, Baneshama.
Assurance of quality and excellence in kosher? Look for the Michigan K on the label. What's it look like? The Lower Peninsula of Michigan with a K. It's a symbol of the Michigan Kosher Supervisors. Go to their website, mikosup.com. That's M-I for Michigan, K-O for kosher, and S-U-P for supervisors, mikosup.com, and find this month's featured products. You'll find Michigan K products wherever fine food is sold, especially at Natural Food Patch on West 9 Mile Road in Ferndale.
Herschel Vinman here. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. We're continuing with more wonderful a cappella music. This is 613 doing Shema Yisrael. Listen, Israel.
Studio of Oak Park is now accepting students. Whether you're a real beginner or have been at it for a lifetime, the Art Studio of Oak Park has something for you. All levels welcome, all ages welcome. Private tutoring or small friendly classes. Flexible hours available. The Art Studio of Oak Park is very affordable. Make your life better. Put art into your life. The Art Studio of Oak Park offers lessons in a strictly kosher environment. Call today, 248-542-5087. That's 248-542-5087. It's great having an art room right in the neighborhood.
Hey, Shulpinman, here you got real quick time for one more. This is the Maccabees, and they're doing Nachamu, which is actually for after Tisha B'Av, but I'm not playing a cappella music after Tisha B'Av, so this means you should be comforted.
Why go to a hospital to get healthy? At Encompass Healthcare, you get the state-of-the-art wound care like in a hospital. The same medicines, the same everything without being in a hospital. Why put yourself at risk of getting a hospital-borne infection? Did you know that last year, 1 in 6 people died in America because of infections they got in hospitals? Encompass Healthcare is an outpatient facility. That means you get your wound care treatment and then go home. There are no wait times at Encompass Healthcare like in ERs. Healthcare is personal and works better, faster, and easier. Encompass Healthcare provides a state-of-the-art outpatient facility close to where you live. Call 248-624-9800. That's 624-9800. Auto accident, workman's comp, and most insurance is accepted. Encompass Healthcare's goal is to get you healthy with as little disturbance to your daily activities. Call 248-624-9800.
Herschel Fenner here. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. This week we began the portion of Dvarim. The portion of Dvarim is always read before Tisha B'Av. The calendar is set up as such. And there's an intrinsic connection, which we've talked about the intrinsic connection many, many times. I want to mention the hero. There is something very perplexing. It's always perplexed me. Moshe told the Jewish people that we have to translate the Torah into 70 languages, which, okay, that's a big undertaking.
And so what did they do is they took these huge rocks. I'm imagining that they're like Stonehenge-type rocks, but they could have been smaller. But they had to be really big because on these 12 rocks, they plastered them over in and then in wet plaster, they wrote the Torah down in 70 languages. Then what did they do with the rocks? They made a monument? Well, that would be cool. Then somebody who spoke any one of these 70 languages could go and read the Torah, and they would know what it says in the Torah. No. When they crossed the Jordan, they left the rocks in the Jordan. And since it's only plaster, even if they found those 12 rocks, the plaster for sure is washed off. So there, what was the point? Why go through that? They might not have understood fully then, because everybody, all the Jews, 3,300 years ago, spoke Hebrew as their first language. So having the Torah in Hebrew, that was like reading a book, the bestseller. But as the Jews have moved, have been exiled, and find themselves, for the most part, in the diaspora, and the number of languages that Jews speak as a first language is probably pretty close to the number of languages that exist in the world, which is, I don't know how many. Pretty close to it, because Jews find themselves everywhere. When Moshe translated the Torah into vernacular, what that did was to open up a path. This is a spiritual thing going on over here, totally. Opened up a path for Torah knowledge to be accessible even to those people who do not speak Hebrew. There's no word in Hebrew for Hebrew, by the way. The way that Hebrew is described in the Bible is Lashon HaKodesh, the holy tongue, the holy language. So even those people who don't relate to Hebrew can participate in the knowledge of the Torah. For example, you can go online and you can type in the word Devarim, D-V-O-R-I-M. And what will pop up? Well, I'm sitting at a computer in the studio, and I am typing in the words, the letters D-V-O-R-I-M, hitting enter, and up immediately came, it's not so many, it came 9,430 sites. Okay, I was expecting millions, but I'm tickled pink that the second one that came up is my UParsha. Anyway, so that's cool. Somebody's doing something right with my website. So only they spelled it different than I do. So maybe that's why, because I'm the only one who spells it D-E. Everybody else is spelling it D-E. So, for that I got 17,000 if you put an E in it. Okay, so you get the idea. The Torah is accessible to everybody. That's the point that I want to make. No one can say it's not relevant to me. There is only one God, who is the creator of the entire universe, the entire creation. And all of the earth's inhabitants are created by God. And every one of those, let's say 7.5 billion people, are expected to have a personal relationship with God. How is it possible for a person to have a personal relationship with an entity which is unseen and unknown? Simple. We got the manual. We have the Torah. The Bible tells us how. And the Bible is existent in all the languages of the world. And not only is it existent in all the languages, it's existent in all media. You could access it from your smartphone. Got nothing to do? After you're done with the show, listen to the show. You can go online. You could spend your whole day online learning Torah in the language that you learn. And that is because Moses opened the path to Torah wisdom. And that path is not only open, it's not a path anymore, it's a super highway. Just got to get on and keep the speed limit. We're going to take a quick commercial break and go away. You're listening to The Jewish Hour.
Hi, this is Specs Howard from the Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts. We're happy to sponsor The Jewish Hour and bring quality radio programming to the community. While much of the funding for The Jewish Hour comes from its sponsors, it's listeners like you that help keep The Jewish Hour on the air. Please send your tax-deductible donation to The Jewish Hour, 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. That's 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. Your help is greatly appreciated.
Herschel Finman here. You're listening to The Jewish Hour. Would you like to get in touch with me? Last week was probably a record as to number of inquiries that I received on RabbiFinman.com. This last week, I would say there was one day I spent, must have been over 2 hours just answering questions that people posed to me. So you got a question about anything? Life has got you down? No problem. I can handle that too. You have a criticism of the way I'm presenting the show? Believe me, I love those more than anything else because that means I get to do a better show next week. And I need your input. I'm not a professional radio personality. I am, I could say a rank amateur because I'm not unranked, but you have something to say. But no, listen, we are award-winning and we're doing the best we can, but there's always room to improve. And even the best professionals have to keep practicing. Thank you very much. I appreciate the vote of confidence. Okay.
I'll say it on the air now. You're okay. A professional.
Thank you. Okay. Anyway.
I was saying it in his ear for the listeners.
Okay. So so rather than being self-effacing, yes, I'm a professional. But people who make $10 million a year playing baseball still have to practice. You know, it's just like, hello, when are they going to get it right already? You got to practice? Yes. So you got something you don't like about the show, please tell me. And we'll correct it. I get those regularly, so if the show's not perfect, I'm not going to say it is perfect, but contact me. Let me know. Speaking of contacting me, we're almost done with July. We would like to pay June before August. I'm soliciting your help. Baruch Hashem, we got some very nice donations from some very nice people this week. And we're almost ready to pay June. So you could be the person who pushes it over. You're listening. You like the show. If you didn't listen, and it's like we're already 52 minutes into the show. If you didn't like the show, you would have turned off long ago. But you're listening now. It means you like it. We need your help so you can like it again next week. Go to RabbiFinman.com. Go to the donations page. Make a donation, any amount. It doesn't matter. Just that I know, I could say, listen, I've got a support base of, 40, 50, 70, 80, 100 million people. You know, so just if everybody listening to this show gave $1 a month, I wouldn't have to do this. So I'm just letting you know. It all adds up. It's all appreciated. Don't like doing internet donations? That's fine. Send your donation to any amount, too. The Jewish Hour, 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. We've got a story to exemplify what I was talking about before. The first Lubavitcher Rebbe, known as the Alter Rebbe, was asked by his teacher to devise a font for writing Torah scrolls and etc. that would satisfy the requirements of both the Talmud and the Kabbalah. There's little variances and nuance in the style. So he wanted a singular, unified font. The Alter Rebbe started working on it before Hanukkah, like in the middle of December, and finished. He had to research what all the letters supposed to look like, make sure that it was adhered to all the standards of all the varying and opposing opinions. And it took him till just before Passover. So you're talking about 4 months for him to develop this style of writing. He showed it to his teacher, and his teacher was very happy and said, this is the style of writing that people should write their Torahs, their tefillin, and their mezuzahs. On his way back from Mizrich to Liazhna, He stopped off in Anapoli to visit his friend and contemporary Bzushev Anapoli. He came into the city, and he pulled up to the first study hall, the first shul, the synagogue. And he walked in, maybe he had to daven, whatever he had to do, and he saw in the front room over there, there was a scribe who was sitting and writing something scribal. I don't know if it was a Torah or a mezuzah or tefillin, whatever it was. He was writing. And the Alter Rebbe looked over his shoulder and saw, lo and behold, this scribe is using the font that he developed for 4 months in Mizrach. And last week it was finished. So he said, how did you learn this font? So he said, the Rebbe told me, meaning Reb Zusha. So he went to Reb Zusha and talking, they're very happy to see each other. And in the course of the conversation, he said, you taught the scribe the font. He said, yeah. He said, well, if you knew it already, why did I spend 4 months developing it when you had it? He said, no. You opened the gateway to the font. Once the font came into the world, it became public knowledge already. So that was the deal what Moshe did, with Moses. He translated the Torah into 70 languages. It was lost. He opened up the gateway. That's going to do it. I want to thank you so much for tuning in. I want to hope we had a chance to entertain you a bit. We hope we had a chance to educate you a bit. We hope you have a great week. We'll see you next week on Tisha B'Av. Take care.
We've been hearing a lot about Uber lately, so we decided to get out there and talk to some actual Uber partners to get our questions answered.
Is signing up to drive with Uber really hard?
Nope, signing up with Uber